All right, B. Mitchell Finley, 106.7 The Fan, coming to you live from Natch Park area. This is Navy Yard. That's where we at. I'm living all over the damn place. We're in the Navy Yard studios. JP is coming to you live from home today. And we're going to get you ready for this game coming up this weekend as the Commanders take on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I understand how things happened the first time we played them, but I think everything has changed a lot since then. I believe this is a better team, more matured. I believe Tampa has slipped a little bit. They still are a good team defensively. They run the ball effectively, and we'll see what goes down with it. But ultimately, we have to just be ready. I think everything that happened throughout the year happened. Right now, this is where you have to go out and come out with your best stuff. You have to come out with all the adjustments. You learn from what you all been through, and when you get a chance to go and play this team at this time, you need to let them understand that Jaden is no longer the rookie playing in his first game. His offense is still a better offense than it was then. Defensively, we've had our ups, we've had our downs, but we've figured out a way to make things happen in the second half of most football games. But I just feel this is going to be an opportunity or a chance where things need to happen a little sooner. Can't wait till halftime to make adjustments. Got to make the adjustments as we go through the football game, as many, many coaches have done it many, many times before. Still waiting to get JP hooked up. Well, I think I hear a little bit of you, Jay. You here?
Yeah, you got me?
Yep, got you, brother. What's happening?
Oh, not too much, man. Good morning. How you doing?
Doing well.
How was the ride in today? Seems like the roads are a lot better now.
The ride in today was 800,000 times better.
Yeah, yeah.
And until I got to D.C., and then everything was still slush.
For me, it was the ride. It's just the neighborhoods are still pretty rough, but everything else has been fine. I've been running around this morning a lot for 10 a.m.
Uh-huh.
Listening to you there, though, obviously, you know, this weekend's game is of such, like, crazy importance. But at the same time, I think yesterday, Dan Quinn talked yesterday and provided just, I think, some real insight on these injuries that people were – I think it was pretty damn obvious Jaden was fine in that Cowboys game, and they just pulled him because it was a relatively meaningless game.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, I think for Jaden it was like – yesterday, Dan Quinn's like, yeah, he's totally fine. And I think that's the reality of the situation. Don't you get the same vibe?
I don't know if they really wanted to let people know that was their plan. Because I hear a little bit too much with this whole situation. I believe they had a game plan to take him out the game. I believe that they didn't want to just say that. Why? I don't know. If he's perfectly fine, you took him out of the game. You didn't bench Jaden Daniels in the 17th game of the season. You know what I mean? So ultimately for me, I don't buy a lot of what I'm hearing. And I understand this is that opportunity where they play. They want to tell you what they don't want you to know everything. And at this situation, I'm cool with it. You know, the game ended. They won the football game. As I look at the whole season now, I think this team is light years ahead of where we thought they would be. I think you're playing with house money at this moment. And I feel as we go forward, you know, we got to stop worried about what we expected to be. It's not a 100% finished product yet. You know, this is not a finished product. They're not where they're going to be when they finish implementing everything that they want. You know, I think we have, as fans and people watching, we've changed all of our mindsets. But they just happen to be a little bit ahead of schedule. And ahead of schedule physically may not be ahead of schedule mentally. Because overall, this team is not the mature team you expect it to be in a year or two. And for me, what happened in the Tampa game, in the last game against Dallas, and what happened this season absolutely means nothing to me. because the Tampa game coming up is a totally different animal. You're in the playoffs now. You played them once before. They're going to know a little bit more about you. You should know more about them. And this game is going to come down to who's prepared to play today. If anybody thinks what happened in the first game is going to dictate what happens in this game, you're fooling yourselves.
I totally agree, B. I also think of the injury updates, you know, the situation with Jaden, I think is really – I think you're right. I thought they were going to play Mariota all along. I think there's a reason. Even if you just look to Vegas, you couldn't get many Jaden props until late in the week. I think everybody was just a little bit confused how that was going to go down. I think by far the biggest injury issue is Lattimore. And what Dan Quinn said yesterday was hardly a ringing endorsement. I'll read it to you. I don't know what to make out of this. I get the feeling, both just from knowing the player and knowing the person, but I get the feeling that Biadasz is going to play. But this was DQ on Lattimore and on Biadasz, and I'm curious what you hear from this. All right, so he said, Biadasz is doing good, coming back next on that. Marshawn was also doing well, ran today, so Arrow was going up. Then he talked about Jordan McGee, hoping trending up. Same with Cornelius Lucas. What do you think they get with Lattimore, B?
Lattimore is going to bring you a certain mindset. It's going to bring you a certain swagger because Mike Evans knows he has hell in a tough-ass game if he's going to be going against Matt Lattimore. And I think that allows you to do other things if you got Lattimore on the field. But ultimately, you didn't have him the first time. And in that first game, I understand they beat us. But I saw so many opportunities where we could have won that football game. And I believe the guys that played in the first game needs to also understand we have grown some. Okay? They didn't just walk out there and run over a lot. Yeah, they've grown a lot. And on top of it, the defensive line and linebackers, they got to realize – you get a hand on Baker Mayfield, his ass needs to go to the ground. And I'll say it all week until somebody in the damn locker room hear me. If you are tackling someone, go to the ground with them. You can't just hit people and think they're going to fall. So maybe that's part of the reason why Baker didn't go down sometime. Grab his ankle, grab his legs, grab his waist, fall to the ground with him. He'll go down.
Yeah, you know, DQ was asked about that because clearly Baker was really good in that game and really hard to bring down. I thought his answers were fairly telling. I'm trying to find it specifically. So he was asked if there's a secret to sacking Mayfield. And DQ responded, well, we certainly didn't have it, if there is. He is a rare competitor in that way, and there's some guys that in the pocket, the foot quickness, the ability to move a shoulder to get underneath somebody, they do have that. And you have to make sure you are rushing somebody. We call it a cage where you try to put somebody into a spot to at least not allow them to hitch up and go. He's had a fantastic year. He's thrown 41 touchdowns. Certainly being able to get Baker down would help.
Yeah,
I just don't know. You know, it's funny, B, that you said you look back on that game and thought, you know, they had chances to win.
Yeah.
DQ said something like, yeah, you know, I'm not even sure the score was as close as that game was. So DQ might be channeling his inner Joe Gibbs like, yeah. Oh, man, these guys are world beaters. We got no chance. You know what I mean?
See, and that's what a lot of coaches do. But there were opportunities missed in that game by our offense. We saw all the missed opportunities to take Baker down by our defense. You know, you don't look at that and say, if we take him down two or three times, hit two of the shots maybe to Terry, all of a sudden you see stuff differently in that football game. And I think, listen, human nature hasn't changed since I was a kid. When people hear you praising them, they feel good about themselves. When people hear you challenging them, they seem to go and go back to the lab and learn a little bit more to come out more prepared for you. DQ is doing what DQ needs to do. But you ask me, do I believe this team could beat that team? Hell yeah. I saw Tampa lose some games this year that they look absolutely horrible. So we can't sit here and act like they are like what the Lions have been. They're not what the Chiefs have been. They're damn sure not what Minnesota has been. So it's at a point now where we've changed our expectations for this team because they've came out and played way better than we thought. But still, every time we get to a certain situation, we feel like we don't have a chance. I don't operate like that. I believe they have a chance.
Tell me if this sounds Joe Gibbsian to you. In his opening statement yesterday, speaking to the media, he said, "We went through what's next and beginning with Tampa. I thought full circle moments are definitely cool. And we started our season against Tampa, and now we get to begin our second season there as well. So it's a great measuring stick. You go back and you watch that game and see how much we've changed in that time, because they got us good for sure. And it didn't even feel that close. So we got lots of work to do, but we're really pumped to get rolling for the week."
All right. That is Joe Gibbs Jr.
Yeah, I mean, that stood out to me. Now, I mean,
listen, but it's not a knock on him. It's what coaches do. And as and you've heard me tell you this many times, Coach Gibbs is probably the greatest coach I know, okay? Hell, he is the greatest one I know. But I can tell you this, when I sat in those locker rooms and those meeting rooms and he was praising the other team, you know what I was saying? Bull crap. Because I don't believe that I need my coach to overly praise another team to get me ready. You know what I mean? And that's what that's what coaches do. But as a player back in 1990, I didn't want to hear it. It agitated me. It irritated the hell out of me. And I hope some players on this team feel the same way. But as I grew, I come to realize that is what coaches do. So either they are motivating you because they're making you have a process in your mind of, do they really believe this crap? Or are they telling me that they don't think I'm good enough? You know what I mean? So what you do, if you're a true competitor, you hunker down. You work harder. You study harder. So maybe it's a reverse psychology type of thing.
I agree. But looking back on it, they did get thumped by Tampa. It was 37-14 with 10 minutes left in the fourth. And at one point early in the third quarter, it was 23-7. Like, I think what I look back on the Tampa game and remember more than anything is Jaden for the first time seeing NFL speed, and he made some adjustments late in that game. He looked better. But I just think specifically, I think he is such a different player than what they had week one. And if you remember, and sadly some of this has kind of come back to be the norm, but the secondary was really bad in that game. I mean, Baker threw four touchdowns, only had six incompletions. And the secondary has improved. Now, if you get Lattimore back, that secondary is day and night different. I don't know that you're getting him back. You know,
about if you don't get him back, you still have to have a level of confidence. So when you say, well, you know, if you get Lattimore back, you're good. In other words, you're saying when you don't get him back, you're not going to be that good. I want to believe that if you get him back the second time, these guys should have a better understanding of what the hell they dealt with the first time. That's the way I think. That's the way I hope these players think. And also, it is not just on the players. So the coaches got to go back and look at the film too and see what position you put them in and make some adjustments. Sure. You know, so everybody is on alert. And that's what
I also think. I also think in that game, I think until Cincinnati, because remember they opened in Tampa and lost. They got thumped, to be honest about it. But then they won week two at home to the Giants, but they were all field goals. And a lot of that was the Giants didn't have a kicker, so they had to go for it all the time. Like, Cliff kept things really pretty vanilla and buttoned up until week three in Cincy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's going to be different too. Dyami Brown, OZ should have caught a touchdown pass from Dyami Brown last week. Yeah. Nothing's going to be buttoned up on Sunday in Tampa.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And that touchdown pass was perfectly thrown. I can say that. On top of it, he was stumbling, and I don't know if it must have shocked him. But ultimately, as I look at it, I don't believe this team is nowhere near what they were the first game, talking about the Commanders. And I believe the fact that they're not where they were in the first game, this ain't the same. It's not the same matchup we're going to be seeing. You know what I mean?
100%.
Yeah.
A 1,000,000,000%. The other thing, and like, I don't want to oversimplify anything, right?
Yeah.
But the way that Tampa game started, so Washington's first play from scrimmage, if you remember, Jaden threw the ball like backwards. They lost like 15 yards on the first play.
Mm-hmm.
But after that, their second drive, they went 10 plays for 51 yards, had two first downs. They got down to the Tampa 29. And then I think it was Cade York then. He missed that field goal.
Yeah, we've had so many damn kickers. I mean, I'm lost with them now.
Right. But, B, just think about that. So Tampa's first two drives were pretty successful, and then Washington stopped them. But Tampa went field goal to open. Then Washington gets the ball, has a good drive, 10 plays, 51 yards. But they missed the field goal. Tampa gets the ball back. They go down and score. So instead of 6-3 and you're kicking off, it's then 13-0, and Tampa got the ball at – I mean, they gained possession of the ball at the 37 because mm-hmm. they tried a long field goal.
Yeah.
So it's just like – I mean, you don't want to oversimplify too much. Tampa was the better team that day, undoubtedly. But two missed field goals ain't going to help you, especially early on for a team starting a rookie quarterback on the road, and you just want to, like, have some modicum of success to kind of ease into it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I get that. And that game, the way it started up, you put a lot of pressure on a rookie quarterback, a new defense. Hell, you put a lot of pressure on the old coordinator and the D coordinator, because now we have to adjust because this thing has already started quickly and it seems to be out of whack. So you start doing things a little bit more cautious on both sides of the ball. And while you're doing things cautious, you're not making the plays that are right in your hands sometimes. So I just think that right now, I don't believe the confidence level of this squad is like it was then. I think it's way above where it was. I think this team believes they can compete with anybody, but they also understand they have to make the plays. They can't go out there and shoot themselves in the foot. And if they do that, they give themselves a chance.
I'm with you, man. It's a very different game than week one. Tampa's still good. Like it does nothing changes about Tampa, right? They have some injuries on the back end, but they got Winfield, they got Vita Vea. We know about Mike Evans. Bucky Irving is a beast. Like they got options, right? But I think Washington is so much different than they were week one. And I can't wait to find out, B. We got a long week. We got to see what happens with Biadasz. We got to see what happens with Lattimore. I think Jaden's completely fine. You'd like Brian Robinson to kind of get things going again.
Yeah.
I thought Dan Quinton had a really interesting answer on Robinson. Maybe we could play that a little later in the program.